And Jesus manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We are blessed today with the account of the miracle of Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and it shows forth to us the love of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We see the love of the Son in his blessing upon marriage, and that he is even there in the wedding shows that he is in favor of marriage. Jesus didn't mince any words when people were doing things that he didn't approve of. He wasn't afraid to speak truth, he needed power, and was crucified by those whom, that he offended by his true speaking. We see in his attendance at the wedding, his blessing of it, and especially in the miracle when he changes water into wine. And this is wrapped into our liturgy in the ceremony that we have, the solemnization of holy matrimony. We have the words that Jesus blessed marriage, he beautified and adorned the first miracle that he wrought in Cana of Galilee. And so we see the Lord putting his blessing upon that which God had created from the beginning, when he made man in his own image, male and female created he them. And he said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. And so what God has instituted, Jesus blesses and elevates at the sacramental level. And we see that blessing in today's gospel lesson. We also see something deeper happening in Jesus' affirmation, blessing of marriage. If we understand that Jesus himself will be bridegroom to the church. This language is taken up especially by St. Paul, who explains theologically the nuptial mystery. That Jesus, who is bridegroom to the church, who is his bride. And so we are loved by God, the spousal love through Jesus Christ. And in that way, marriage becomes a symbol. And that is why as Christians were very intent on keeping intact the whole institution of marriage as it's been revealed to us by God and as it's been practiced in the church through the ages, because it itself is a symbol of how we can understand the love of God. God loves us with spousal love in Jesus Christ. He's bridegroom to the church and to each one of us, our bridegroom. Now, what this means for us is the symbol that Christ establishes when he elevates the sacramental level in marriage. It becomes symbolic to us, it conveys to us the love of God, but also shows us how to love. So, in the first instance, it shows us how God loves us through Christ, who is true husband to us. And he loves us with a never-failing love. Now, if we think about it in terms of marriage, Christian marriage reflects that kind of unconditional love through the vows that are articulated by the husband and the wife when they promise each other that they will have and hold each other come what may, for better or for worse, richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, until death parts them. That is an unconditional love, a man and a woman coming together in lifelong union. That reflects the love that Christ has toward us. He is a true husband to us. So in our own lives, if we have ever suffered the betrayal of somebody, or the love that we had, a loving relationship with somebody, and it turned sour, and we left, and we were abandoned, whatever heartbreak we may have endured in this life, Christ will never abandon us. He is a true husband to us. And so if we get sick, and we have, lose our health, we don't have the same strength we used to, Christ doesn't abandon us when we get sick. He loves us in our sickness. He sanctifies our illness and purifies us through it. If we have, good times, and if we get really rich, say we win the lottery, it's not just the $1 million ones, but the many ones, 999 ones. Christ will not abandon us. Possible to abandon him if we have that kind of weight of gold placed upon us. But Christ will not abandon us. If we lose everything, and a lot of people, if we lose our stuff, are no longer interested in us. Especially in consumer culture, and where people are looking at each other, kind of muscly, like what do they have, what can I do? Looking at people like objects. You know, if suddenly I lose everything and I have nothing but empty pockets, Christ will still be in my sight. He himself has embraced poverty. He can show me how I can rejoice in my poverty. But he will not leave. And so the Lord shows us true husband love. And then he becomes for us the icon for those who have made a promise in marriage to a spouse. How we are to love the other. Especially for husbands, we are to love like Christ loved the church. You're not to abandon. You're not to abandon our lives. We're to have and hold them until death crisis. We're to love them come what may, no matter what circumstance, with unconditional love. That God will supply it if we don't have it within ourselves. This is the promise and the church is living out the gospel truth when it enacts the love of God, who has loved us with spousal love and shows the world what it means to keep a promise. And we live in a time when a lot of people need to see what God looks like. People who can be trusted, who are faithful, and who can express fidelity in our relationships. And so we experience that. We see that blessing upon the marriage of Cana. We see the affirmation upon the sacrament of marriage. We also see the Father's love in this miracle. The Father, who is the creator of all things. Of course, it's only Trinity involved in the provision of miracle of Cana, because God creates from the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. We see the Father's love of provision for those who are suddenly in a place where they lack what is necessary for the continuation of peace. They are out and God supplies. And so in this 9 days of prayer, we give God humble thanks for his provision. And that's something that we can always pray for. God provides in very mysterious ways, ways that we don't need to know. Did the husband and wife know in the moment that they were running out of money? Doesn't seem to be the case. Mary's the one who notices. The governor, he certainly didn't know. He's simply surprised that they saved the best wine for last, because most people, they serve the best wine first. And after people are well drunk, then they bring out the inferior wine. They save the best for last. He doesn't seem to know. There's a miracle of provision here that keeps the festivities going for this wedding. And in our own lives, God is mysteriously providing to us in so many different ways. If we reflect on our lives, we will be stunned at how gracious and kind the Lord is to us through his abundant provision. The 9 days of prayer is an opportunity to give him thanks, and if you lack, to ask that he may provide. We see also the gifting of the Holy Spirit in this miracle account of Cana. And we see it in the in Mary, the mother of Jesus, who is aware of the problem that is emerging at the party. She is one who has concerned herself with the needs of others. That is a grace. And then she knows what to do with that. She goes to her son. And she doesn't try and fix this herself. She's not busy about trying to, you know, arrange for something to bridge the gap. No, instead she hands it to Christ. That is wisdom. Oh, what needless pain we often. And what needless pain we have, but it's understand that because we're not taking peace of God in prayer, we often, you know, suffer so much distress. And so here is the gifting of Mary, that she understands where to go with that petition and lets Christ take care of it. And so he does. There is that. The miracle comes from her petition prayer, and the party is well supplied with wine, even in abundance that is excessive. It shows the overflowing abundance of God's love in that miracle, changing the water into wine. For those water pots held between 20 and 30 gallons each, and there were 6 of them. So what a gift. We also see the gift of the Holy Spirit, not only Mary, who is wise, who understands where to go for but also in those who are obedient to those commands for the water paths. In all these things, there is a compliant heart, and it is God the Holy Spirit who is at the root of all obedience to God in our every good word, our good thought and good deed. So we see the Holy Spirit in all these things. So on this third Sunday after the Epiphany, let us give God humble thanks for the record of this miraculous account of the Lord showing forth his glory. And let us believe on him as his disciples. And let us pursue those things that are of God that we hear of in this gospel lesson. That we might receive the spousal love of God through Christ, and be faithful in our own commitments and promises. That we may also enjoy the blessing of God's provision with humble thanks. And we may be inspired by the Holy Spirit to love God more deeply and more fully. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.